CliffCentral.com. Sophie Ndaba's here. How are you, you gorgeous woman?
I'm fabulous. How are you, you gorgeous people?
Of course you're fabulous. Look at you.
Thank you.
How are you, Sophie?
I'm fabulous. I'm fabulous. It's a good year.
I haven't seen you in a long time. You've got so much going on at the moment.
Yes.
It's been incredibly busy. I mean, we always will, and I'm afraid you can't shake this whether you like it or not. People think of you. They see Queen. You were an institution in South African television for the longest time. You're probably our most famous television actress ever.
I think you are one of the, you know, you said an interesting comment. I think we're in Melrose for a function, and you said, after so-and-so, you are the most popular. I won't say the name, but I remember
think,
you saying
I think
that.
I said Nelson Mandela, and
yes.
Then I said you.
Yes.
I meant that.
Yes.
I think you walk down the street, and I've seen you at events and functions and things. You walk around, and you really are the queen bee, because people gather, they swarm around you, they love you.
I think it's been amazing because the people of South Africa just don't forget the queen character, and they don't forget the Sophie person, because there's just, you know, I feel like a sister, I feel like an aunt, I feel like anything to them. So when they see me, they don't see anything else. They just see that woman that they've known for over two decades.
You're part of their lives,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Now, you've moved into a totally different part of business. You run events, and you do, I mean, this is a major thing, right? Mm. You call yourself the doctor of events.
Absolutely, a doctor of events. There's so, no way.
Tell me what this business, I mean, what kind of events do you guys do?
We specialize, obviously, in weddings for the past 16 years. And, you know, a lot of people don't really know that, and they think it's like a game. They think it's like a hobby. It's a real job, and we
sure.
take it very seriously. And I think it's one of the biggest sort of projects you can ever put together. It's as big as a festival, because when you look at the planning and the strategy behind it, it's quite big. Well, maybe it's because I do the big events. So, obviously,
sure.
I take it more seriously. And we are global. I mean, we've done events in New York. We've done events in Dubai. We've done events
wow.
in Mauritius. We've done all
wow.
over Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Swaziland. So we're quite global, and I'm also part of the International Wedding Planners Congress every year. We're going there in
I
the
suppose
next month.
People, you know, people spend so much money on weddings because
yeah.
it's their big day.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
For most people, it happens once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Everything goes into it. They've been dreaming about it, especially the girls, since they were little kids.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So they come to you and they go, please, Sophie, would you do this for us?
Bring it to life. Bring my dream to life. That's
do you have
do.
A minimum? Like, you don't want poor people coming to you.
I was just going to ask. People are always like, what kind of woman can afford you?
Because people are always scared of you, though. Especially my friends. They're like, ah, Chomi, can I just invite you? And I'm like, but Chomi, can I just plan this wedding for you? No, Chomi, I can't afford you. I mean, if my own family and friends are afraid of me, I'm like, guys, come on. It's just perception.
Ever help poor people with their weddings?
Absolutely. I wouldn't even, you know, I mean, I've got people that I've done weddings for in Soweto, where I just say, okay, I'll throw in the tent, and I'll throw in the bridal chair, and I'll throw in the, because it's fun and it's heartwarming to just see the smiles on their face. And I'll say, you buy your own cake. I'm not buying a cake.
That
I'm not doing that. You know, buy your own
sure.
ring.
Sure.
But there are things that I have in my warehouse that I'm like, they're just sitting there. Why not just give, you know?
So you're a bit like a fairy godmother.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. I think it's quite fun and it's heartwarming. And why not? If you
absolutely.
Can. Yeah. And why not if you can?
Is it quite a lucrative business, though?
Absolutely. I mean, I've had clients who spend 30 million. I've had clients who spend 5 million. I've had clients who spend
30
million.
Hold on. Hold. 30 million rand on a wedding.
Absolutely.
These
absolutely.
Would be the people doing it
I
in Dubai.
I will never tell you who, because I'm the doctor of events. Remember, doctor patient confidentiality.
You're right. I got
I
you.
I could never really tell you who they are because of that. However, yes, from 50 grand to our kind of weddings of 200 kind of grand or 150
yeah, yeah.
to the 20
big,
million
big.
Or 15 million that we all dream about.
Wow.
And, you know, those are the kind of contracts we all look for, but you get them once in a while, once every 5 years, and that's okay, because that's not what it's about. It's about the passion. It's about the excitement. It's about just making dreams come true. And it's about good business. So good business is not always about the most of the money. It's about just making sure you keep the business alive and you create employment to a lot of my staff.
You know, Michael Flex, a producer, was saying to me this morning that one of the reasons he really wanted to meet you and to hear your story is because your story didn't, it wasn't always glamorous, it wasn't always easy.
No.
You really had a pretty tough upbringing. You were the breadwinner.
Absolutely.
At a young age.
Yeah.
You were a teenage mother. You had to sell secondhand clothing at a certain time. I mean, tell us how this, because a lot of people get stuck in that, you know, it's
difficult.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think for me, I always look at God and I say he's just an interesting God because he just places me and he just sets me up. Because when I was like 8, 9 years old, I lived in an orphanage and then I lived in foster homes. And the interesting thing about one of the foster homes I lived in is one of them, we used to obviously bath in cold water and never use hot water because they would say it's not for children. And the other foster home was quite different. They then taught me entrepreneurship because they said, okay, you can't afford to pay your school fees. Every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when all the other kids are partying and clubbing and doing movies, you will be working for your school fees. So I learned how to work in a butchery. I learned how to work in a flower shop. I learned to work in a bottle store. I learned to work in a restaurant, grocery. So and clothing, and there's nothing that I didn't know how to do. If you ask me what is a hind quarter in a butchery, I would tell you what is a hind quarter.
What did you do in the butchery? Did you actually saw the pieces of meat in the butchery?
I mean, because I was a little girl, the older guys, you know, the babas would then say, come, Danam, let me show you. And you'd stand there and they'd say, hold my hand, and you'd hold your hand and you'd cut it with them and they'd explain, because for them it's fun. It's like a grandfather talking to a granddaughter. Sure. And they would literally walk you through it, but it depends on how smart you are and what you're willing to learn.
Now, Sophie, there is no shame in learning about all of these jobs. A lot of people would be ashamed to just be a butcher or ashamed to be a plumber or ashamed to be someone who cleans someone's house, for example. There's no shame in this to you. You learned everything.
That's why I am. I called it my first years of university because I did my practicals as a 14-year-old girl. I mean, I worked. I mean, those days, I don't know about the rules of working in a bottle store. I know now they say no under 18. But darling, I knew how to open a bottle at 14. You know, Lokshin culture where without a tin opener or anything.
Where you use one bottle to open
one
another.
One bottle to open another at 14. Come on. I am so street smart that
Mubs
nobody
could do
can
that
touch
at 12
me.
She beat you. She could do that at 12.
So yeah, so I learned everything, and that's why I'm the entrepreneur that I am, because I did my practicals at 14, 15, 16. I was already rocking business then.
You see, being street smart sometimes better than being book smart.
Yeah, I think both are good, but if you've got the other and you don't have the other, leverage on it. And that's exactly what I did. I said, I can speak. I think I'm articulate. So what am I going to do in South Africa when I go back? Because I was in Zim. I went back and I said, right, I can speak. I'll be a TV presenter. And I went back and I said, I can model. I think I'm tiny enough. I wasn't tall. And I thought, well, Naomi Campbell's got nothing on me. And I went for G3 models and I was there being a photographic model. So I did everything. I had strategy because I'd been taught strategy from a young age.
Where did this ambition come from, though? Because nothing stood in your way. It seems like everything that could be thrown at you, you just knocked out of the way and kept going.
I look at it and I even tell journalists and I say to them, darling, come with me with any headline, darling. You can do anything. It does not break me. In fact, it wakes me up even more on who I'm dealing with around me, because they always say, bring your enemies even closer if they're really coming to attack you. So the more I know about what you want from me is the more aware I am. And, you know, I put my guard on and I know that we're fighting this thing together, and I'm onto you, you're onto me, and we rock this together.
Because so, they've written horrible things, because when you're a big star, when you're a tall tree, you gather a lot of wind.
Absolutely. And I mean, I always say
a lot of people don't like success, right? In other people.
Yeah, sometimes they don't even understand your success and they think, how did she get there? And they don't realize that we don't sleep. We work harder than twice as hard as everybody else, and you put in the hours. I mean, other celebrities, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to really focus on acting, but you can never keep your eggs in one basket. I mean, look at you, darling. You do absolutely anything and everything that you're passionate about. And a lot of people out there are so afraid of exploring and trying out new things.
I don't have Sophie Ndaba money. Let's be serious.
I don't have Gareth's money either. But we have different ambitions, yeah.
Well, you went and did your O-levels in Zim, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, were you originally from Zim, or did you go there to do it because you realized that maybe they had the education system you were more interested in?
No.
What was the story? Was
poverty it took me to Zim. Poverty. My mother's father had two wives. So he had a wife in South Africa, Kimberly, and he had a wife in Zimbabwe. So my mother came from the other mummy, the South African mummy.
Right.
So he had other kids in Zim. And, you know, obviously those are my roots, my grandfather's roots. And my mother said, okay, South African education is not happening. My child, my mom was selling cool drinks and kota, if you know kota and magwinya, from home to school children for her to take us to school. And my dad was always sick, so he wasn't working. So I went to Zim for education and I ended up in an orphanage. And orphanage to me was boarding school. And I thought, okay, I only woke up, I think, at 9 years or 10 years. And I thought, okay, where am I really? Because at 8 years, it's home. It's boarding school. And only when you wake up, you realize, okay, all the kids here don't have mothers and fathers. I do. How did I get here? So it's just an interesting journey, yeah.
Did you have to lie to them and say your parents were also not around?
Absolutely.
You did, so you could stay in there. Wow.
Absolutely.
That's where you learned to be an actress so young, at 8, 9 years old. You're lying to the people because you want them to think
so
you don't
have parents.
So
they're crying and say, my mommy, I'm like, yes, I also miss my mom because I did miss my mommy.
Wow, 8 years old. She's like, oh, my mommy's dead. Meanwhile, your mom's Kimberly.
I didn't use the dead part because I was always so afraid of Jesus. I used to pray a lot. I used to say, God, forgive me before I did anything. So I'm really scared. Jesus is watching. I have to watch what I say, the power of the tongue.
But you love, I mean, what's so amazing is that your love for your family,
yes,
was still number one. You wanted to buy, for the first time you ever got a paycheck, you wanted to buy your mother a fridge.
Absolutely.
And fill it with food.
Yes. Yes, I mean, my mother did anything and everything for me. I mean, I remember one Christmas we didn't have shoes for Christmas, and she said, my child, I think you must just go out there and play with your new dress and just tell them that you don't want to mess up your shoes in the street. And I went out there and I said exactly that, and my friends believed me. We played barefoot with my sister. So it was the best thing. I mean, she was the most amazing, amusing woman. She was the most beautiful woman. She was Miss Kimberly 1965.
Wow.
She was
it's
a
in
hot
the jeans,
lady.
Huh?
Yes. She was hot, but, you know, and I think I just got all of that from my mother, and I that's when, you know, she gave me her first pension money because she got sick pension, and she gave me her first 155, and that's where I actually took that money to buy a newspaper, look for TV work, and this is what brought me to where I am. Her 155 rand of pension, she trusted me with it.
Wow.
With a teenage baby in the house, and say with as a teenager and a baby, and she said, I'll take care of your baby, you go out there and change the world. And I had to make her proud, and that is why I would do absolutely anything for my mother. Even when she was alive, I would buy her flowers every week, and I thought, I don't want to put them on your grave. I want you to have flowers while she's still alive because you brought light to my life.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people have regrets because they didn't do that.
Yeah. Because I think people tend to celebrate people in their coffins and they buy the best casket. And I think, no. Celebrate me when I'm alive, then I know that you do it.
But you supported your mom. You supported your grandmother.
Yeah.
The rest of the family, too.
Yeah, the rest of my family.
Whatever you brought home, you would then share with everyone.
Absolutely. My sister died at 26, I think, and she left a daughter. Shalon is now 28. She's been my daughter for 24, 25 years.
Wow.
And she calls me mom, and it's amazing that I can have a 28-year-old who can say mom to me, because I was just a teenager, you know, and I was told, here's another child.
Sure.
You know, and look at her now. She's successful. She's working for an amazing company, and she's a marketer. She's in marketing, and she's doing well.
But they must all be hugely proud of you. I mean, if you were my aunt or my mom or my grandmother, I would be like, yo, everybody, this is her. This is who I descend from.
Oh,
this is the great Sophie Ndaba. Huh?
Oh, wow. Well, I just want to teach them how to impart self-confidence, and I just want them to always remember that life isn't what you imagine it to be, and you have to constantly fight. The higher you get, the wind gets stronger, and you must understand that. And people don't know that the higher you get, you must always expect that it gets tougher and tougher and tougher. You know, if you're in an aeroplane, I don't think you can survive the wind. So see yourself as that aeroplane and always have that guard on, protecting yourself, knowing that the higher you get, the more protection you need.
Now, you've had two very public marriages.
Yes.
And the last one was with Bishop Keith Harrington, right?
Yeah.
And that was a very public
sort of
situation, because he's a very well-known man
in
the church. You're a very well-known woman.
Yeah.
Was it difficult having a relationship with someone so much in the public eye, where everything that you two did together, if you went for dinner, there was someone taking a picture. If you walked through the mall, if you went shopping.
I was used to it. I could be married to a president, darling. I'd survive it. I don't really care. I would just rock it. I just know that I can't really do business. So I'd just be thinking, damn, now I can't do business. But that's the only disadvantage.
But you'd be a very good first lady.
Huh? I'd be a first lady with a cleavage. I think I'd just cause a lot of havoc.
Yes, ma'am. By the way, you really are looking very, very sexy.
Thank you.
It's a black sort of see-through top with all kinds of zips and things all over the place. These very sexy pants on. Have you been working out a lot lately?
I've cut sugar. I'm diabetic now. I'm type 2 diabetic. So when I found out a year ago, because it's hereditary, my mother had it, my father had it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I decided to change my lifestyle, and I've been on diets for years. Everybody knows that. They've called it a cabbage diet. They've called it a soup diet. They've called it many words. But my diet now is simply eating healthy, creating a new lifestyle to really eat healthy, and I've proved it without taking any diet, anything. I've simply cut sugar. I've simply lowered my carbohydrate intake. I'm more protein. I'm more eating healthy. I'm more water. I'm just a happy person because I didn't need to go on diet. I've just created a new healthy lifestyle.
Because there's also a lot of pressure, particularly if you're on television and if you're a public figure, to look good.
Absolutely. And you know, luckily, my character has always been interesting. Whether I gain weight or I don't gain weight, people don't really care. Whereas other celebrities are always under pressure to say, oh, did you see? She's got like rolls on her waistline. And for me, when I have rolls on my waistline, they're like, oh, cute. She's added a new roll. So it's been awesome. But I can't, I'm not going back there.
No, but why do you think people loved you so much? I mean, I've got theories, but I'd like to know from you, why you think it is that you had such an impact on people?
I was just blessed with this amazing character that I played for 21 years. And I think also when you go out there, I always say to a lot of young celebrities, because I'm always asked just what do I think and what comment do I have for young celebrities who are up and coming. I always say that the way you carry yourself with people out there, the simplicity of just that you're a real person, be yourself out there, and people always pick that up. And, you know, and they speak word of mouth. They're like, oh my gosh, I met her. And it's not about, you know, acting it out and saying, I'm going to people now, I must act this way. It must come naturally. So you have to build yourself as a person first. So when you go out there, it becomes a natural thing. Because when you pretend, darling, we pick it up. We feel it, because today you're in a bad mood. We see your real mood and the real you. Tomorrow you're in a good mood. Everybody must smile with you. So you're almost like a crazy person, you know? So
it's fake.
it's fake. So people pick it up and they feel it. So for me, I always thought, let me be me. I'm God's child. I love life. I love people. Yes, I cry. Yes, I get upset. They will know when I'm upset, but, you know, it will be relevant and it will be real. So I'm just myself.
But you seem like a very controlled person. So do you ever emotionally let go? I mean,
Oh, yes. But I obviously do it with my sunglasses on and I...
You cry in the showers.
I cry in the showers. I cry under the covers with my sheet. So I'm that kind, but I cry. I just believe it's a good relief, you know. And I obviously I remember locking myself up in my house one day for a day or so. And my daughter came in and she opened the curtains. She says, are you depressed? And I said, no, depressed of what? She says, you've closed the curtains. And I said, I want to think.
Is that what you do?
I do that sometimes, but it's not an every month or an everyday thing. I do it once a year where, you know, I have my conversations with God and I just want my own space and I don't want the phone ringing and I don't want anybody there. And I want to plan my next year. And people don't understand that. So I do it in my home. So I do it in my own space where nobody will question what I'm doing except my kids, of course.
Will you return to the small screen anytime? Is that something we can look forward to?
Absolutely. I'm working on two shows that the month we know that they're going on air, you know, you'd be the first to know as well.
Thank you.
But there's a show that I'm cameo. Is it cameo?
I played
cameo in years.
Wow.
Cameo on High Rollers on SABC 3.
Okay.
So that's going to be from the 24th of February, which is tomorrow. Gosh. Okay.
They must have to pay big money to get Sophie Ndaba to do a cameo.
You know, whatever I wanted, I got from High Rollers. They really, really respected me. And, you know, I had real fun. And, you know, I play Harriet, this amazing, amazing woman. She's quite similar to Queen. So, I mean, I had a lot of interviews where people were saying, do you think think it's typecast. And I said, typecast what? I mean, if you're an action...
But you poured so much of you into Queen.
Absolutely.
Right?
So, you know, people still want to see that element, but there will always be a different character. So I say you can't compare oranges with lemons. They're all the same family with nachis, but it's not the same thing. You know, So Queen is the orange, I think, or the nachi. Which one is sweeter?
Queen's the orange.
Nachi's the orange, yes. Yeah.
Sophie, do you think that... generations, I mean, it's really, it's not the show that it once was, and I don't expect you to say horrible things about it, because otherwise you sound bitter. And,
absolutely.
And I know you've moved on and you've got a
absolutely.
Life. It's not really what you do anymore.
Yeah.
But does it make you a little bit sad? There are all kinds of other new shows now that have sort of taken the shine off of the generations in a way. And we had that issue with all the 16 actors.
Yeah. I think you can't really compare. Why I say that, Generations itself, before the legacy came, had 22 years to grow. It had 22 years. Give me one show, even the ones that are top now, to grow in an industry where people didn't even understand soap.
Not possible.
So even, you know, when you look at a new show that's part of soap now, that's competing with it directly, it's learned. They have all, as producers, as creatives, learned from a show like Generations to say, we've got this generation that we want to beat. Mm-hmm. So obviously they've had time to know that, for instance, you've got the following of people who watch soaps and who are dedicated. Whereas when Generation started, people didn't even know what soap was. So we are at a point where competition is healthy, and I think they all know that as producers. And, you know, may the best man win the ratings.
But I mean, that's exactly what it is in TV. And you were the queen of ratings. Yeah, forget about anything else. It was the number one show for like 12 years in a row. I just
absolutely.
Want you to hear this. I started watching it when this was the music. I want to know if you remember this. You know how I had to dig around to find this? Do you remember this music? Remember this?
Yes, Archie time.
Remember?
Even kids knew it. Babies knew this music. In their mother's tummies, they knew it.
What would your advice be to young actresses who want to make it in South Africa? It's a tough thing to be an actress and make that your living.
I think for a lot of young people, they think it's more about the popularity and to be seen and to be famous. They don't understand that a lot of work comes into building a personal brand. People always think that a show makes you. Yes, a show makes you, but you make the show too, and it's a collective effort. And for you to stand out amongst 20 or 16 other co-actors in a show, you have to really work hard on yourself as a brand and building yourself as a brand. So it's not only on set as a character, it's out there. What are you doing to market yourself? Are you associating yourself with the right people? You know, even when you're going partying, are you being responsible? A lot of young people think, I'm still young, I must do this. They don't understand that it's a collective effort of everything that you associate yourself with, whether it may be friends, whether it may be a business, anything that you do. I mean, my business has sustained for all these years because I've known how to separate the two and make sure that I launch those separately, but they've strengthened me as Sophie as a brand. So I would say to a lot of young people, go out there and know what exactly are you looking to achieve. Because you must have a purpose of why are you doing this, besides popularity. We're all going to be seen. We're all going to be called darling on the street. But after that, what happens? You know, they say, as a wedding planner, I always say, after the wedding, the marriage begins.
Right.
You know, so after you are popular, then what? After we all call you darling and Sophie, then what? Because you have to sustain that persona that you've created.
And you know, I realized when I saw Charlize Theron win that Oscar all those years ago.
Yeah.
And I was in LA and I thought, on the night that she won, I thought, okay, now what?
Yeah.
Because you've got all this fame.
Yeah.
The world is at your fingertips.
Absolutely.
There's only one direction you can go from now.
Absolutely.
Because fame doesn't last forever.
Never.
And you can't bank fame. You can't put it in the bank.
So you consistently have to have, that's why I have my moments of going away, locking myself up, strategizing. If you can know the things that I'm about to do, you'll understand that I am not afraid of anything. And you need to say, what is it that I want to target? And what is it that I want to fight for? Because if you don't fight for stuff, you'll never really get anything. Mm. Nothing comes easy. Comfort zone is not healthy.
And a lot of people just kind of live. They don't really push themselves,
I'm
right?
a celebrity. Everybody knows me. I mean, I'm the it girl.
Yeah.
Darling, I was an it girl for many years, and I've remained an it girl in my own space without wanting people to call me anything, you know, because it's about staying power. Mm. What do you do to have that staying power and people remember you no matter what? I mean, I was fired, and the next month I bought a new car. I was like, let me buy myself a car.
What car did you get? What kind of car was
Porsche,
this?
Porsche, darling. Mm. I had to.
God, you must look good. Are you hearing it today?
They call it a Porsche. I call it a Porsche. I'm from Soweto. I'm like, very African. Posh.
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 You mentioned the weddings that you plan and everything else, and we talked earlier about your other two marriages. Are you any plans to get married again? Or
absolutely, I just believe in love. I believe in forever after. I believe in just being happy. Why not? I mean, I'm not in a hurry. I just think that for starters, I'm looking for a best friend. I'm looking for a soulmate, and then the marriage part is just a signature. I mean, if you know my last marriage, I didn't even sign, so I didn't go to court to divorce because
you didn't get any money out of him either.
Oh no, he didn't get any money out of me. I didn't get any money out of him. So marriage is a word, yeah. But I think the friendship, the relationship, the companionship is what I'm after, and I'm looking forward to having a forever after with someone.
Have you got anyone in mind, or is there no one in your life at the moment?
No, there's someone in my life. There's always been someone in my life for a few years now. It's just that you learn, and you learn to keep it under wraps, not as a
secret. He's not a well-known guy?
Absolutely not. He's a simple, regular guy.
And he doesn't want to be well-known?
Oh, no. He has no. I think he would have been well-known by now. 2 months later, he would have been known.
Sure, of course. But how do you keep that under wraps? Because I'm sure that everybody, every horrible Sunday Sun journalist in the country wants to know who Sophie Ndaba is.
Believe you me, they have all said it. They have all written about it. Oh, we saw her with a hunk there. Yeah. Oh, we saw, because I do go with him to places. Uh-huh. But I think it's like a boring story because there's nothing exciting.
Is he South African?
Definitely not.
Oh, okay. You see, I'm reading you like a book.
Yes,
here,
yes. He's looking at me in the eye and saying,
guessing,
I want to see a twitch.
I'm guessing Ghanaian.
No. I'm not answering. Definitely not. I'm definitely not answering that. Okay. But definitely not two of the above.
I think he is. I think he might be from Cameroon or somewhere
exotic. Oh, gosh.
Like
somewhere
that.
Exotic like that. Hey. That's for me to know and for
this,
you to find out the day I get engaged.
This, maybe he's about 5 or 6 years younger than you. I imagine he's got perfect abs.
Oh, my gosh. Darling, keep talking.
Yeah, I can see this.
I told them. I mean, I think the media was like, oh, she. And I said, stop calling people Ben 10 because any man who's over 30, it's disgusting to call them that.
Yeah.
Number two,
right.
I said, I will date whoever I want. And I don't want anybody telling me who I should and shouldn't date. As long as that person is a consenting adult and is a working man and he rocks my world, I'm happy.
I bet you, because you deserve this. This is how I picture it. I picture you getting home in the evenings and this man is ready to give you sexual pleasure all night long.
Darling, all the time, everything. I say that we live in this world for, you know, once. We have a chance. And I say, if you want something, darling, and you are listening to this, go out there, get your Prince Charming. Don't worry about what I'm going to think. I'm not going home with you. So do what you want to do as long as it's respectful and it respects your family and your family approves. Rock it. Nobody else matters.
Forget about Bishop Harrington. You could preach. Listen to
you
that.
Naughty. I didn't say that, people. I didn't say that.
So can you give us any other clues about what you're going to be up to this year? I mean, it's only February. There's lots to happen still.
I mean, obviously, I've got my weddings happening. I've got the TV shows that I've pitched to SABC. You know, SABC has said they want to empower us as South African black producers, as females who are coming into the industry. And my loyalty to SABC has been 25 years, darling. They got to do something. So they committed and they said they're going to do something. So we'll put them to the test. Maybe one day you'll interview Mr. Motz himself and say, hey, you said and you promised to empower these black African women.
Yeah, what's happening?
You know, what's happening? So, yeah I mean, we've pitched and they've seemed very excited about the things that we want to do, and stay tuned. There is going to be some exciting things happening.
I am amazed at the things that you've already done in your life. And I mean, if your life had to end, God forbid, but if it had to end at this point, I think you would have a better CV than most people who would live to 100.
Yeah, I think right now I'm working on pleasing God and making sure that I live right and making sure through all the excitement, through all the things that we can laugh about, it's just about living a life where it's life with a purpose, life where I leave a legacy behind for my kids. And that's really what I'm working towards. And I know that I've done everything that I've ever wanted and dreamt of doing, from being a 9-year-old dreaming in my bedroom under a blanket somewhere. And yeah, so now I want to focus on my foundation. I've also got the Sophie Foundation.
Tell me about that.
We've given away computers, we've given away wheelchairs, we've partnered with companies like AXA, you know, all these places, all these companies have really participated in us changing lives. And the key thing that I give away every year is a blanket, because when I was in the orphanage, I used to close my head and dream under my blanket, and that's why I am where I am today. So I give kids blankets, not only to comfort them and to keep them warm, but I want them to use that as a tool, you know, to dream. Go under your blanket. It's your own. You own it. And dream about who and what you want to become. And that's where I started as well.
I've got something I want to talk to you about after the show with regard to this. I've got some ideas.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. And of course, because I'm diabetic now, mm-hmm. I want to create awareness for people to understand that this is the one of the biggest killers in South Africa. And if you don't understand your illness, you don't understand that you can live a full healthy life. And that is exactly my focus this year on health issues.
Let's recap. You said it all. You've told us a story of triumph over poverty, a story of a young girl who had to act at 9 years old and pretend that she didn't have parents, even though she did. She became the greatest TV actress in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
She gets regular action from a very hot African man who's probably younger than her by quite a long way. She's looking better than ever. You really are.
Thank you.
You're looking great. She's in great shape. She's given up sugar. I mean, you're our sugar.
Yeah.
That's why you have to give up sugar.
Thank you, my darling.
Because we put a little bit of you in our life and we feel much better. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you for always loving me. Thank you.
Please, I'm your biggest fan. You know that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sophie and Dubba, everybody. Let's play this again. Let's reminisce. Right.
Wait a minute. Didn't you do a cameo something on Generations once upon a time?
Once.
Everybody did a cameo on Generations.
Exactly. Everyone in South Africa.
Yeah.
People who've been dead 20 years.
Yeah. Even Mandela.
Mandela made a cameo.
Yeah.
Wow. What a privilege to have you here. Thank you, Sophie and Dubba.
Thank you for having me. It was awesome. Thank you.
There she is, everybody. South Africa's greatest television star. CliffCentral.com.